the Sedra Tazria. Now, this, amazingly enough, seems to become a very central place in Torah, right? If we look at the progression of thematically what's been happening in Parshas Tetzava, right, towards the end of the book of Exodus, Shemos, or actually around the midpoint, we get this idea that Hashem says, I took you out of Egypt in order in order that I could dwell amongst you. So Egypt into the Mishkan, into the dwelling place of Hashem, was one process. At the end, in Shemini, we suddenly had a new idea or a development of that. Ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem, amal eschem eretz Mitzrayim, who lifted you out of Egypt, liyosachem lelekim, to be for you a God, v'yisem kadoshim ki kodosh ani, right, not just to dwell amongst you, but I want you now to become holy. And that was, now that we've kind of completed the inauguration of the Mishkan, of the temple, of the place of God's presence, now we can focus on how you become a holy nation. And that's going to be a big theme in the book of the rest of the book of Vayikra. And Rashi finishes last week, or really the beginning of this week, he says that Rav Simlai says that just like the human being was created after the animals, so the Torah also talks about the human after the animals. And in fact, the last kind of words, last week's Sedra, Zos Torah Sabahemavov, this is the Torah that applies to animals. Now we're ready for the Torah of the humans. So we're kind of going on this amazing journey back through the pathway of creation. How do we relate to being holy through animals, kosher and non-kosher? Now, how do we relate to being holy as a human? And then we seem to be disappointed by, okay, so there's laws of childbirth and circumcision. That could be good, I guess. And then it's all the laws of Tzaraas, some kind of skin infection, inflammation, something which we're told by the rabbis is not really caused medically, even if, according to Sepharno and others, the effect is medical. It's caused, says the Gemara in Erechin, by a bunch of things, but most prominently by talking Lashon Hara, talking negatively. And we really want to understand, why is this the center? This is it. This is the centerpiece of Torah. I want you to be holy. I've told you how it works with the animals. Now we're getting to the human. We're going back to the beginning of creation where the human takes center. Here we are in Tazria, and we're going to talk for a long time about Tzaraas, about the skin infections, and this type or that type, and it's white, and the hair turns white, or it doesn't, and the Kohen inspects, and all the intricate laws. And eventually, next week, or next time, we'll talk also about the laws of the home, if they get that gets discolored, and all these various, before we go back to a few other laws connected to the reproductive parts of the body and so on. What's happening? And of course, two enormous hints. One is the primal place of Lashon Hara. This is in place of speaking badly. But that alone does not seem to suffice. For one thing, the Torah never explicitly associates them in this week's Sedra. We have to wait till later on in Parashat Baal Hashachar to get some kind of association. But also, what's this? This is the centerpiece of the Torah, Sa'adam, the law of the human, until we realize that so many of the themes of this Sedra are actually thematically linked back to the sin of Adam. Starting with childbirth, the whole process of Adam turning into male and female, right, which begins the process of relationship through which children are born, is brought to the fore at the beginning of this week's Torah reading. But more than that, the idea that there'll be pain in bringing forth a child, that also goes back to the Garden of Eden and the sin. But more than that, the skin, the place where the Tzaraas affliction will be, the skin of the human, is not given to the human until we leave the Garden of Eden. The writer of the book in Genesis, in Bereishis, says that Hashem gave them kosnos ar, garments of skin, vayal bishem, and then clothed them. So the very skin that we have reflects the fact that we are subject to the sin of Adam. Why? How? And how does Tzaraas, its discoloration, link us back there? And of course, Lashon Hara, the very evil speech or bad speech, is exactly what the serpent in the Garden of Eden uses, the negative speech, in order to entice the human to fail. And finally, we have the Medrash Tanchuma that says whatever the snake was in the Garden of Eden did what it did, God says, I am going to give you Tzaraas, this skin affliction. That'll be your scales as you emerge out of Eden and your equivalent enters the physical world as a snake. You'll have your very skin and flesh will be Tsaras. So we begin to see what Tsaras is a symbol on the human body that you've become the serpent. This, the garments of skin that are born out of the sin of Adam in the garden are the very thing that when they turn snake-like, that's when you know you've behaved snake-like in speaking Lashon Hara or other related practices. So it really, therefore, creates an imperative for us to focus and go back into the Garden of Eden and understand some of the dynamics of what happened there. And I'm going to quote to you the idea that's brought in the second chapter, not quoted inside, second chapter of the Myrna Vuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, where the Rambam focuses on the sin of man in the garden. And there he says the following. He says that he asked the question, or he says a wise man asked him the question, could it be that sin, that knowledge is bad, eating a tree of knowledge? And Rambam, of course, corrects him. There is no tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden. There is a tree of knowledge of good and bad. Eitz Hadas Tov Vara. Okay, says the Rambam, fine. But is knowledge of good and bad something God didn't want us to have? Isn't that one of the key differentiators between human and animal? Is that we have moral conscience, more than moral conscience, we can make moral decisions. You could never hold an African hunting dog to be guilty because of the way that they chase down and rip open a zebra. It's cruel, but that's all they're programmed to do. They can't behave differently. A human can. So knowing good and bad seems to be a great differentiator between us and animals. Why would God not want man to eat from the tree of good knowledge of good and bad? Answers the Rambam. Before the sin, man knew right and wrong. Good and bad is not the same as right and wrong. In fact, what man knew before the sins, as the Rambam, is MS and Shaka, reality and illusion. Reality was God's will. Illusion was everything else. Incorporated within God's will is all that's good, all that we call, well, all that's right. Within illusion was all the other possibilities. And the serpent, we're not now going deep into the story, what the serpent is, what the garden is, that's for another time. But the serpent's temptation is, V'yisem ke'elokim, you can be like God. Your eyes will be open. Your eyes will be open. V'yisem ke'elokim, you'll be like God. L'das tovara, knowing good and bad. Yodei tovara, know good and bad. What does he mean? Says the Rambam, you see the words good and bad, we don't just use about ethical conduct. We use them about food is good, music is good, or the food is bad, the music is bad. We use the language for all aesthetic experiences, how things look, how they sound, how they smell, how they taste, how they feel. We have a whole vocabulary. It's good, it's wonderful, it's amazing, it's disgusting, it's horrible, it's revolting. And that vocabulary, we borrow the entire vocabulary of our senses and we apply them to right and wrong. So if the food is good or beautiful or wonderful, the moral act of sacrificing for others is good, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Or a horrific sensory experience is bad, disgusting, revolting. A mass murder is bad, disgusting, or revolting. Same words, why? Because when we talk about an aesthetic experience, the food is good, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it makes me feel good, beautiful or wonderful. It makes me feel disgusted, revolting, or so on. So we describe the world based on how it makes us feel. Says the Rambam, that is the sin of man. No longer will you see the world the way the world is. No longer will you see the world the way it is in the mind of God. No longer will you see it as its creator does. You'll now see it based on how it feels. Subjectively. Your eyes will be opened. You could say means you'll see the world through your eyes. You'll be God. You'll be the definer of reality. You'll know good and bad. If it feels good to you, it's good. If it feels bad, it's bad. And this is the tragic story of our lives to this day. Somebody makes me feel good. Through my eyes, as me, God of reality, they become good. Somebody makes me feel bad. Maybe I'm jealous of them. They're more successful than me. Or maybe I've said something which they may not have meant badly, but it really hurt me. Now I'm angry at them. They become bad. And watch how our brain becomes this unbelievable prosecution lawyer. Suddenly our brain can just like see everything they're doing is bad. Or if we love them, everything they do becomes good. And this is the root of all human breakdown. I think I'm the center of reality. I see the world through my eyes, how it feels to me. You think you're the center of reality. You see the world through your eyes, how it feels to you. And you can have two perfectly good human beings in a horrific argument where if you're not in it, you can see both sides, but they can't. This one feels hurt. This one feels hurt. Each one's sure they're the victim. Each one sees the world through their eyes. And in this broken world post-Eden, in this broken world in which we enter flesh, we enter bodies that separate us from one another. In Gan Eden, we were one. We were one neshama called Adam that was divided into male and female, meant to come back together and come to God. And as we left Eden, we were not one. We fragmented into billions of shattered, broken pieces. You and I are one of them. Everybody's one of them. And in that world where we are separated by our garments of skin, I can see the world through my eyes, you through yours, but we can't see the whole picture. And what we think is seeing is in fact blindness. The garments of skin that separate us blind us. And amazingly, in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, or Ayin Vav Resh can be reviled to the same letter of the word Iver, one who is blinded. We are blinded by seeing the world through our eyes. We cannot see reality. Lashon Hara is the language we use when we do not see reality. We don't see the good in the other, we see their bad. Our brain has become the prosecutor. And yes, everybody does good and bad. Reb Chaim Avolozhin tells us in the Nefesh Chaim, since the sin of Adam, almost every act has some good and some bad. It might be 99% good, 99% bad, but almost every act has some of each. And so when we're looking, we can find the good. When we're motivated, they make us feel good, we'll see the good. When we're motivated because they make us feel bad, we will see the bad. But we're not seeing reality. Lashon Hara is the language of the speech that we do when we've lost track of the oneness and we're trapped in our own little fragmented self. And what happens to our garments of skin? They turn into the serpent that we've become. And what do we have to do? Separate from everybody to tell us that we want to reintegrate. Yes, our bodies separate us, but we have to come together as one. That's what we have to do. And this helps to begin to explain why it might be that Tazria, this, and Metzora, these are the centerpieces of Torah. And this, you know, this idea, this notion of what it might be, and who is it who must declare the person, the Metzora? Who is it who must eventually purify them? That is the Kohen. Why? Because what makes someone a Kohen? They're from Aaron. Ohev Shalom, lover of peace. And in Hebrew, Shalom is Shalem, integration, coming back together as one. Medrash tells us that Aaron would show each one how the other one wants to make up, try to make you feel positive about the other, go to the other one, you do what you want to make up. Get each one to see the good in the other, and then you can have peace. Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Asabrius, love everybody, Makarvan the Torah, and bring them close to Torah. That's where we need to be. So I know, I apologize this week, we're shorter than usual, but hopefully we've got a profound message, something for you to think about that could be valuable as we approach the Shabbos, and of course valuable as we approach Pesach, because Pesach is precisely the moment we were all one. In Egypt, we came out as one nation together at the midnight. It was B'nai B'chayri Yisrael. It wasn't us born as individuals, much as we experience Pesach as individuals, but it's our connection to the whole of Klal Yisrael, the whole oneness, which is why we say to the cynical child, if you separate yourself from Klal Yisrael, from the oneness that we are, you're just the radical center of reality. You couldn't get out of Egypt. So this idea is very important to that and very important to why it takes such a central place in the whole of Torah. May Hashem help us to see the good in one another and to be able to, yes, live in our bodies, but see through the eyes of the other too. Transcend the garments of skin and get back to how Rav Meir wrote it in the Gemara, says in his Torah in the Garden of Eden, the kasnas are the garments of light, Aleph of Avresh. We should get into that place and into that space, the Torah Sa'adam, the Torah of mankind, that as Hashem took us out of Egypt to be kadoshim, to be holy, this is the Torah that we learn. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.